Good morning, everyone. So as we've, BC is no exception to what we've been hearing about. We've, obviously having increasing rates of STI. We're having closures of STI clinics in some regions. And so I work for the BC Centre for Disease Control, and we operate STI clinics. And these have been operating at maximum capacity for quite a long time. We're seeing an increasing number of people who are trying to be seen and are being turned away. So these service pressures, as well as a general need to facilitate testing among persons at risk, led us to develop an online testing service. So our service is called Get Checked Online. Get Checked Online provides online access to testing for chlamydia, gonorrhea, syphilis, HIV, and hepatitis C. It's integrated with our current STI public health and clinical practices and managed through the provincial STI clinic at the BC Centre for Disease Control. So we consider this sort of a virtual extension of our existing sort of real-world clinics at the BC CDC. Well, we have several goals of Get Checked Online, including increasing uptake and frequency of testing, reaching populations at greater risk, but a key one is about increasing STI clinical capacity, and that's sort of the focus of sort of this session today. So this is a funded program. It's not a research study, so we've completed our pilot, which is what I'll be presenting on today, but we are scaling it up and evaluating as we go. So I'm not going to go through all the steps in detail for Get Checked Online. Feel free to check it out on your own. I'm also not going to go through the process of how we developed Get Checked Online, but this just enough to say it took 5 years, and this is our unofficial program logo. And if you are interested and you want to know more, just this week in JMIR Research Protocols, we published a full description of the program and how we developed it. But at a sort of a 1,000-foot view, it essentially boils down to three main steps. The first step is getting a requisition. So someone goes to the Get Checked Online website, they create an account and a profile, they review pretest information, complete a risk assessment, which has about 8 to 10 questions, tests are recommended to them, and then they can print off a laboratory test requisition. The second step then is a client takes the requisition to a private lab that we partner with, and in the pilot phase we had 6 specimen location in collection sites in Vancouver for blood, urine, and swabs. Throat and rectal swabs. Third is then receiving test results. So people receive a notification by email when the results are ready. They log into the site. If all the results are negative, they can see their results online. If one or more of the test results are positive, there's a notice that they need to contact the clinic. And at the same time, our clinic nurses are trying to contact the individual if they've provided a phone number. And third, there may be a message if there's a problem with the specimen. So Get Checked Online went live in September of 2014, and so a key thing to know about the program is it's not yet publicly available. That's something that I would like. At the moment, you can access Get Checked Online through two ways. One is through an access code, so you can provide people with a code. They go to the website and they can enter it, so we use that in promotional campaigns or giving it out to people. The second is through email invitations, so if people have provided their email address in various settings, we can email them an invitation and they can then create an account in that way. So there's three main promotional strategies that we used during the pilot phase. First was promoting it to clinic clients. So clients had the capacity to sign up in the clinic, actually signing up before the program was live and then after the program went live. And then they were invited to use the service. These are called clinic invitees in the analysis. The second is our promotional strategy, which is probably most of interest to this group, is that we provided access codes if people had dropped into the clinic but couldn't be seen because of the no space, no capacity, or they were calling for an appointment and they didn't want to wait. So we would give them an access code, and we call these turnaways in the analysis. And third, we did do a promotional strategy to gay and bisexual men in the Vancouver area sort of in the middle of 2015, and this is called the campaign. So the objective of my presentation today is to compare the uptake of Get Checked Online through the various steps of the testing process and across these three promotional strategies. So it's a fairly simple analysis. We looked at the demographic risk assessment responses and data on the progression through the steps that we extracted from the Get Checked Online database. Information on STI diagnosis was extracted from the electronic medical record of the clinic. We looked at all accounts created during our pilot phase between September 9th, 2014 and December 31st, 2015. But just be aware that in order to capture the test outcomes for people who created accounts late in 2015, we included test episode outcomes through to March 2016. And a fairly descriptive and bivariate analysis. So this graph shows the completion by steps of the process. So in our pilot phase, we had 868 people creating accounts. And even without looking at the numbers on the bottom, it's pretty clear that within each step of the process, we do see some drop-off. People starting and completing risk assessments, starting and completing lab forms, and submitting specimens. And overall, 37% of the people who created an account submitted specimens. In terms of who's using Get Checked Online, so the demographic information is captured on the account, so we know that the average age is 32 years, but quite a range between 16 to 79 years, 71% male, 65% white, and 62% in the city of Vancouver where the specimen collection sites are located. So we do know that 38% of people were traveling to access the service. In terms of sexual history, and this is captured on the risk assessment form, so we had 487 clients completing the risk assessment as part of the lab form process. 15% of people reported symptoms and 7% a contact to an STI. Now, when that's part of our triage, and if people enter that, they do get a message to come into a clinic, because we prefer that they come into a clinic, but they're not barred from proceeding, and so clearly people are proceeding. 42% men have sex with men, and then a fair amount of sort of sexual risk, 27% reporting four or more partners in the last 3 months, 41% condomless anal or vaginal sex, and 15% having an STI diagnosis in the last 12 months. Interestingly, about 9% of people was their first time ever, so potentially reducing some barriers to testing there. For 23%, their last test was over a year ago. So in terms of our program outcomes, so this is sort of similar to what you saw earlier in the graph by step, showing that overall the outcomes for the 868 people. I think the important thing is that during this time we had 10 STI diagnoses, so a 3% positivity rate. And of people who tested once, about 30% tested it more than once. So we had repeat testing amongst people using the service. Now, by promotional stream, so first starting with the clinic invitees, so people who were invited in the clinic actually had the lowest proportion completing, creating lab forms, submitting specimens, and no positive results. And we think this is because we're actually asking people to use the service after they've probably just recently completed testing, so because they're being engaged in an STI clinic setting. But interestingly, there are people who are continuing to use it or are now perhaps shifting to use this versus clinical testing. For clinic turnaways, the people who couldn't be seen, we did have the highest completion rate in terms of lab forms being created, specimens submitted, and 6 of the 10 diagnoses were in this category, people who wanted to be tested and couldn't be seen, which sort of, I think, speaks to the motivation of people who are in this group. From the promotional campaign, we actually didn't have as big an uptake as we thought, and there's a number of reasons why we think that was, but it was sort of somewhere in the middle in terms of sort of progress through the steps of the campaign. And then finally, we did have, during the course of the pilot, people who would contact us directly and just asked if they could access the service. And so we would give them codes in order to access the service. We're not turning anyone away at this point, even though it's not publicly available. So in terms of our positive results, we had 3 chlamydia, 4 gonorrhea, 1 co-infection, and 2 people with syphilis. We had no cases of HIV or hepatitis C during our pilot phase. So our conclusion, we feel it's a successful pilot, and in fact it has been expanded in 2016. We've certainly found new STI diagnoses. It appears quite acceptable to clients, as we've seen just in terms of repeated use, and certainly we get a lot of anecdotal feedback from people about how much they value the service. And we have a full program evaluation underway to look at some of these outcomes in more detail. We've seen it used by clients at risk of infection, used by first-time testers, and it's been successfully integrated within our public health and clinical practice. So it's really has become an extension of our clinical practice. We do see drop-off at each stage of the testing pathway. That's not uncommon if you think about like home self-collection programs, people sending home kits, a fraction return them back. So it's not that uncommon. We think partly it's also related, since this is all online, that people are just checking out the service. So they're creating an account, checking it out, going through, but perhaps they're not motivated to test. And that perhaps leads to then the differences that we see by the promotional strategy. So our highest completion of testing and the greatest number of positive results were amongst the turnaways, who are probably most motivated to test at that time. And, you know, so clearly I think this has the potential, certainly not in the pilot phase. We didn't really increase our clinical capacity that much because of the number of people testing, but it does have the potential to increase the clinical capacity. And we feel that in this population, likely it led to earlier diagnoses. But again, we have some plans in place about how we can evaluate that more rigorously. So in closing, I can explain to you, even without knowing what's on this graph, this shows the pilot phase that I've been talking about, and then this now is what's going on with Get Checked Online. So this shows the first 7 months of 2016. So a couple things happened in February. Two other provinces or regions of the province on Vancouver Island and the interior of British Columbia partnered with us to set up Life Labs locations in their regions to participate in the program. So in total, we've had about 1,800 people submit specimens, and we've had 53 positive diagnoses so far. Turnaways still remain a fairly significant proportion of the new diagnoses and the people creating accounts. Interestingly, now about a fairly substantial are people who are contacting us to get access to the program, so word is clearly getting out. So I'll just end by acknowledging I'm representing a huge team of people who've been involved with this initiative. I can't thank all of them by name, but it has been a very collaborative and a big team effort. So happy to take any questions. If you want to know more about our research, including a link to that article I mentioned earlier, you can check out our research website, which is listed there. Thanks.